Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Here we are Friday morning with our listeners, and I'm looking out, and it's a beautiful sunny morning. Lovely day.
We have a couple of listener questions. Our first one comes from Andrew. As we discovered the liquidity crisis in the fall, as Bob forecasts every year with the FTX meltdown, the tears of crypto investors who couldn't spot the anagram filled the cry pot of financial history.
Ooh, that's getting colorful, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, I love our listeners.
Yeah.
Does this set up a seasonal bottom from which we may see a Christmas rally, or was the recent surge in the markets just a rebalancing from institutions out of crypto and into equities and bonds, or as we like to refer to it, the real world?
Yes. Yeah, that FTX was a very rapid, huge jump up in assets supposedly under administration, and then an even faster decline. There's something very fishy with that one. Also, it was set up so a whole lot of money was funneled over into the Democrat Party. So there's more to come out on that one. But it's just an example of what can be done when you're in a bubble. And then the seasonal lows, we've been discussing this. Everybody knows that if something bad's going to happen, it might conclude by October. And then you can go into the favorable season, into the spring, where the old saying is sell in May and go away. Yeah, that has been on for an awfully long time, but we're in the early stages of a post-bubble contraction, global, and it's beyond the control of any individual central bank. So I've analyzed the probability of the seasonal rally, favorable season from, say, October, November out till the spring, and think that it's unlikely. I think the market's going to continue to go from, oops, risk on, let's all get hot, to, oops, risk off, let's all get cold. So, and there are other examples. Ross has done a study of rounded tops over the last few decades, and the methodical declines, which we're into now. And these five or six examples managed to ignore the favorable season that we're talking about. So I wouldn't trade that one. Just from on the oversold, when traders can imagine a trade, and the overbought. But our view is, since January a year ago, was to build liquidity by selling the rallies, and we're not into buying the dips at all, unless it's the golds.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks for the question.
Our other question or questions come from Michael. Hi, Jim and Bob. Was the October high in the U.S. dollar a multi-year top? Does the DXY dollar index have support in the 102 to 104 range, or does the U.S. dollar have further downside?
Yeah, that's a good eye on that. The DX, high was 114.5 on terrific, upside technical. So it became excessive. And we called for the correction. I was sort of looking for 108 on the chart. Ross had something around 105 based on a 38% retracement. And, it looks like the 105 level was about correct. And, So some stability in the U.S. dollar in here. and let it build a base before the next leg up. And we note that historically, in a post-bubble liquidity crisis, as it gets intense, the senior currency goes up. So we're in a very long-term bull market for the U.S. dollar. It's a time when the Federal Reserve cannot willingly depreciate its own currency, and I kind of love it. It's sort of like a pub with no beer. And then second question.
The most bearish of Wall Street bears see an ultimate bottom in the S&P at somewhere between 3,200 and 3,600 by year-end or the first quarter next year. Bob, that doesn't seem very bearish to me. Why not a decline to the March 2020 S&P low of 2,100 or decline even further to the 2007 top as support at about 1,500? Thanks, your friend Michael.
Yeah, Michael, good eye on that. I was just content that once the bubble was over to outline that typically post-bubble bear markets have ranged from 3 to 5 years. And in the Dow in 1929, you could consider the New York Stock Exchange kind of junior relative to London. And the S&P or the Dow fell like something like 85%, highly speculative market on a relatively smaller exchange, whereas in London, a share index fell in half. So in January, when we looked at, a year ago, when we looked at the excesses, pointed out that for the S&P, the more severe decline could be about 56%. So in half over 3 years is probably the best handle.
We'll take a look at some headlines with Bob when we return.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your eye today. Energy bills in Europe are 90% higher than they were this time last year.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be a killer. Remember some months ago, Jim, we talked about a chart I stumbled on about the cost of firewood in Germany. And it was back to something like 2005 or something like that. So it was an up and down on a seasonal basis. And then all of a sudden, boop, straight up. And it's due, of course, to central planners. They got off on this idea that CO2 is bad. Therefore, your fossil fuels are bad. But they had this image that windmills and solar was wonderful and would do it without ever pausing to think there are times when the wind doesn't blow. And it's very clear that the sun doesn't shine all day long. So they went for very inefficient sources of power. And then not being total dreamers, then hooked up for natural gas and oil from Russia, which was a mistake. I can remember in the 1980s when President Reagan advised Germany not to get hooked up with the Russians on power. And of course, this all turned into a disaster. But it's not an accidental disaster. It is due to central planners with too much power and crazy ideas. And I think that after this winter, there's going to be a whole lot of people, a lot of these citizens are going to say, hey, you guys, you're out of here. A popular uprising. Yep, could be.
FTX says it could have over 1 million creditors. And I also saw a headline. They thought they'd been hacked and lost about $60 million to some hacker. Turns out the Bahamian government wanted to get their piece of the pie before the pie disappeared.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What a fast up and a fast down.
I guess that's what happens when you have a market that's totally unregulated, isn't it?
No, there's nothing that a regulatory agency can do about stock speculation. It happens. Just, or foreign exchange or commodities or whatever. There's nothing they can do about it, so.
Woke Disney imploding with mass layoffs.
Yep. Well, they got on board all of the fanciful political trends of the day and became less family-oriented. So I think there could be some there where people have said, hey, I'm not bothering you. And then the other is that people are just not attending functions like they used to. So maybe a bit of both.
Now, at Twitter, we have, ever since Elon Musk took over, massive layoffs and now massive resignations in the finance and payroll departments. Has he moved too fast too soon? And could it just be a $44 billion hole in the sky that he threw his money into?
I agree. I think he was acting with the compulsion that you can see at the top of a market, where, hey, I'm bulletproof, I can do anything. And he took a run at it, and we'll see how it all goes. But it's nice to see it's shrinking. And of course, it's been an agency for far-left propaganda, so good to get it reduced, at least the propaganda part.
Amazon plans to lay off thousands of employees, and corporate America also cutting thousands of jobs before a recession has officially arrived.
Yeah, yeah. The other one I liked was the Wall Street bonuses. Mm-hmm. Could plunge by 45%. That's the annual Christmas bonus. And when in a good market, the investment business or brokerage business can be extremely profitable, so that the tendency is to give everybody nice Christmas bonuses right through the staff. I used to like it when I was in the business.
U.S. household debt jumps the most since 2008. That was the last big crash.
Yep. The debt load becomes a burden, and everybody starts turning things off. It happens.
What's the impact of that going to be?
Oh, weak real estate prices. Everything's slow. Hey, it's recession time.
Mm-hmm. Global exodus from China bonds extends.
Yep. That would be, I guess, their corporate bonds, which they floated huge amounts of lower grade bonds, and that sector got trash, and people are still obviously with the headline getting the hell out of those things.
The German government wants to abolish animal husbandry. I guess that means cows and pigs,
farming,
and chickens, maybe even, and switch to vegetables and oatmeal.
Yep.
In other words, a wartime diet. Get rid of the cows and just eat turnips and carrots.
But you know, there's always been an old saying that people in power will take up a regional idea and push it that helps their region. But this is one where it's a personal preference. There are obviously some vegetarians in power, so everybody's got to be a vegetarian for whatever reason. But they've got this idea that raising cattle and their farts have carbon dioxide and methane in it, and this is evil for the warming and stuff like that. But it's not true. It's not true at all. I mean, in the United States, they're upset about something like 30 million cows in the United States, when if you go back to when it was buffalo, I think it was something like 60 million buffalo there. So
there used to be millions of elephants as well, and I would imagine they kind of put out a little bit of methane.
I looked up buffalo here just recently because I thought, gosh, with all of the space you've got from the Canadian plains right south down to the Gulf of Mexico, why would not the American bison migrate south for the winter? In the plains of Africa, you get these wildebeest and whatnot. They do annual migrations. But so I looked it up. No, the American and bison existed from northern Alberta all the way down to Texas, on the plains and into the mountains. So they were everywhere, and there was no seasonal migration. So it's interesting. The American bison is a fascinating guy.
Yes, they used to kill them just for their tongues.
Yeah, and the hump was apparently good eating too. So.
Yeah, I've eaten buffalo and beefalo. They're both terrific.
Yep, they are.
They live right across the road from our family farm in Peace River. Bob, always fascinating to chat with you.
Jim, we've had a good time on this Friday morning and looking forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. And as you can hear, Bob loves to answer those questions. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.